On today's episode, we welcome Wisdom Hunters blogger and author Shanna Schutte back to the show. Join us as we discuss the enduring legacy of devotional writing, what it means to truly live a blessed life, as well as a sneak preview of a brand new Wisdom Hunters book releasing this fall, 2 Minutes in the Bible with Jesus.
You're listening to the Wisdom Hunters podcast, helping you apply unchanging truth in a changing world.
Hello and welcome to the Wisdom Hunters podcast. My name is Tripp Prince. I'm the content director for Wisdom Hunters. And as usual, Boyd Bailey is here with me, the president of Wisdom Hunters.
Yes, hello, Tripp. And so excited about our guest today, Shanna Schutte.
This is an exciting podcast. Round two of a conversation with Shanna. Shanna, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me again.
This is outstanding. Shanna, love having you on. Such a blessing to have your voice and your writings as well. If anyone has read Wisdom Hunters over the years, as we said in the last one, they will have encountered your writing. Countless people have been blessed by it. And just such a gift to now have your voice for the next few minutes on our podcast. Before we talk about one devotion in particular, I want to ask you a few questions as a way of kind of opening up. When we first started this podcast, I asked Boyd a few questions about the craft of devotional writing and kind of how he goes about it, what he's learned through the process. And I thought it'd be fun for our listeners to hear your take on some of those similar questions. And so as you go about writing and have written devotions over the years, what have you learned about yourself through the process?
Yeah, you know, it's not so much that I have learned about myself. I just think that putting it down on the page, it confirms what I already know. It concretes what God has already taught me. Because I've always approached devotional writing from the aspect of that I'm just a funnel. So because I think if I have experienced it and I have felt it, someone else has experienced it and felt it too. Because we're really not that different from one another. So the way that I approach it is if God's teaching me something in scripture, if there's something I'm wrestling with in life, I'm going through something, lots of times it becomes fodder for something that I put down on the page. And so when I put that down on there, it's like, you know what, this is true. And the other thing about devotional writing or about any kind of writing is that it's not really fully formed sometimes inside of you until you sit down. We see in the movies how, you know, someone sits down and they're all inspired and they're, you know, it doesn't happen that way usually very much. It's like 90% perspiration and 10% inspiration. But lots of times the inspiration comes as you sit down. And so what was initially formed inside of you as a seed, that truth that God taught me, now it becomes more fully understood as I put it down on the page.
I love in the process of writing devotions, and I think this is why people have journaled as well. It brings an intentionality to the way you go about your days and your week. Like you say, the normal stuff of life is often the inspiration for writing a devotion. And I think it, for me, helps me be attentive to what we're going through in life and kind of how do I make sense of these experiences. And sometimes writing helps us process those and know how to respond to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think writing, too, it makes you aware of the movements that are going inside of your heart and the things that God is teaching you. So, you know, we can feel a lot of things or think a lot of things throughout the day. But when you write those things down, again, it becomes something that's more concrete to you.
I asked Boyd this question, and I'll ask you again as well. Throughout the history of the church, there's all sorts of writing. We've had these thousands of pages on theology. We've had biographical writing. But devotional literature has always been in there from the very beginning all the way through the history of the church. And it has such a enduring legacy. And I'm curious, why do you think it is? Why do you think people respond to devotional writing so well?
Well, the first thing I would say is pretty practical and boring is that they're easy to digest, right? I was thinking recently about how much I learned in college and how little I actually remember, right? Or the same thing. You sit down and you read a book. How much of it do you remember? There's usually a theme or some little snippet or something that you took out of it. And so with devotionals, they're so short that you can easily digest them. And the other thing, too, is that when God uses one of them, I mean, it will hit you in the heart. And you can remember something from a devotional, maybe a sticky phrase or something that you read for years.
the brevity of them as well, I think, creates a wonderful habit of regular reading. Sometimes if it's a big book, you kind of have to ramp up to it and you give it your full attention for a week or two, and then you almost have to recover. And you may take months off from reading again. And devotional writing, since they are short and accessible, creates that habit, I think, of intentional reading on a daily basis.
Yeah, right. And especially, too, in our society now. I mean, everything's so quick and fast. And, you know, that's why 2 minutes in the Bible is so awesome.
Shanna, you just mentioned 2 minutes in the Bible. It's a wonderful transition into our conversation now about one of your devotions from your book, 2 Minutes in the Bible for Women. We're going to highlight one of those devotions called Have You Put God in a Blessing Box? This was previously published on wisdomhunters.com. You can find it. It was published January 12th of 2016. But if you have the book, it's number 16 in there as well. And this devotion really is inspired from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, which says, Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And now, as the name implies, Shannon, one of the key themes here is this idea of a blessing box. It's a powerful image. What do you mean by it?
Well, what it means is that you put God in a box and say, you can't bless me in that box. I'm only going to be blessed if you, you know, bless me according to my agenda. So, God, I can't be blessed if I live in Florida. I'm only going to be blessed if I live in Colorado. Yeah. God, you can't bless me if I'm single. I'm only going to be blessed if I'm married. And so, but we put God in a box and say, Lord, you know, my life is only going to be good if you do it my way.
So often I think blessings for us, we link them to our circumstances, don't we? And if it's a circumstance that seems to be pleasant or what we desire, then it's considered God's blessing. But sometimes, we kind of talked about this last episode as well, there's things that we may not necessarily want, or in our own vision of what our lives could be, that we would invite into our lives, but they can turn out to be a blessing from God, even in the midst of that. And so that kind of brings up the next question, which is, how do we make sense of the difference in say, a feeling of happiness as opposed to experiencing God's blessing? And is there a difference there between those two things?
Well, we can be happy, but happiness is not always equated with God's blessings. That God's blessings can be deeper and more meaningful in our lives. And we can be blessed without feeling happiness, just as we can have joy. Joy and happiness are different.
I think of the Sermon on the Mount, right? Jesus' words there. He has all these examples of people that he calls blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are people who mourn. And you kind of look at this and you think, that doesn't sound like blessing to me. That actually sounds like a really dark place to be. And we were talking about this earlier. In the Bible, there's two different words for blessing. One is the kind of blessing you would ask from God. Like, God, would you bless my family? Would you bless our home and anyone who visits it, that kind of thing. But there's this other word, makarios. And makarios in the Bible is this word for being in a state of blessing. And one of the things that's interesting to me is in the Sermon on the Mount, that's the word Jesus uses. So he says, you who mourn, you right now, even in that mourning, are in a state of blessing, which is kind of hard to wrap our heads around. But I think what he's saying is, in light, especially for us on this side of the cross and the resurrection, in light of the hope we have, there's that sense in which even in a place of brokenness, we can encounter God's blessing because we know that brokenness will be made right. We know those wounds will be healed. And so there can even be a disconnect where we feel that longing, but still are blessed people.
Yeah, absolutely. And that reminds me, too, of in John, where Jesus says that I have come to give life and life to the full. Lots of times we think that has to do with our external circumstances. You hear people talking about, you know, this is abundant life I'm living, but it's not. It's internal. According to the original language, you know, it's something that is inside of us, and it's Jesus himself. And so we can experience blessing and that abundant life that's internal, and it doesn't have to be external.
Let's dive into the devotion a little more explicitly. Here's a quote that really stood out as we read through this. You say this, Shanna: God cannot be put into a blessing box no matter what happens to us and no matter how the story of our lives unfold. He has ways of working things out in ways we would not have imagined, even when our story is messy and even when it is not what we would have chosen for ourselves. What would you like to share about that? What stands out as we read through that?
Yeah, you know, again, in the last podcast, I talked about getting married late and how I wasn't going to be a part of a blended family. And there was a point at which I went to see a counselor, and I was talking to her about the grief of letting my dreams go. I knew I wasn't going to have my own kids. And as I was pulling out of the parking lot, when I was seeing that counselor, I was just telling God, I just feel cheated. You know, I was just being honest. God, I feel cheated. I wanted my own family. And it was a really weird place to be because I was experiencing the joy of knowing I was going to get married, but the grief of realizing, okay, here it's finally happening, but it's not happening the way that I thought it would. And in that moment, I just sensed as if God was saying to me, the only reason you feel cheated is because you do not understand my plan. And so in that moment, it was like, wow, that just spoke to me. And you know, we try to put God into these boxes and say, this is the only way that you're going to bless me. And God goes, you know what? I've got a different plan than what you're thinking about. And in the devotional 2 minutes in the Bible for Women, I talk about Joseph. And in scripture, it says he was taken down to Egypt. And that word taken jumped out to me because he didn't choose to go down to Egypt. He didn't say, yay, I'm going to take a trip to Egypt. He was taken. And when we look at that story, if we were just watching it unfold, we would be thinking, there's no blessing in that box. There's not anything good. But because we're on the back end, we can see how God was working that out in a way we hadn't anticipated. So that kind of, all of everything I just said relates to this quote that we talked about, that God can do things that we just haven't thought about or imagined.
So often it feels like we get in this spot where we're trying to pull God along, right, rather than being led by him. And yet that story of Joseph is such a good example. And throughout the Bible, one of the persistent images for us as followers of Jesus is that we're servants of the king. And the posture of a servant is one who trusts the king and trusts that as we're led by Jesus, that he leads us into places of rest and places of safety, even if that path is treacherous. That's what I think when we pray the Lord's Prayer, when it says, lead us not into temptation, we're not saying that that's a live option, that Jesus might take us to a place of evil, but it's saying that Jesus knows where we're going and knows where he's going and can guide us faithfully and safely, even if it's a treacherous journey. Shanna, I love your story. I love the way that your experiences in life have brought hope and inspiration to so many people, especially in this area of encountering God's blessing in unexpected ways. And so I think there may be some people listening who maybe in a place you were in years past, especially with some of these deep longings in life, and saying, I don't see how this longing, I don't see how this desire could be a part of God's blessing. What would you say to them?
Yeah, I would say that, first of all, you want to just stay in the day, because we tend to worry about the future. When we're saying, you know, God can't bless me in this, we're also saying, you know, nothing good's going to happen. And we start to worry about what might not happen or what will happen in the future. So my girlfriend always says, just stay in the day. That means just, you know, rest in what is now, because you just don't know what God's going to do. And then also to surrender to what you don't understand. And what you were just talking about reminded me of that, that there's stages that we go through as Christians. Lots of us, we come to him in the beginning because we have this promise of a better life, and we come to him because we're in a desperate place. And then as we grow in maturity, now we come to a point of surrender. And so for the person who's just dealing with this unfulfilled longing, there's a place where you have to come to where you surrender, because that's the only place where there is peace, right? Because if we get angry at God and we get mad at him for not fulfilling that desire, now we've, I don't want to say cut off, but we've hardened our heart toward the only one who can give us any kind of comfort. So now we're suffering double, right? We're suffering because we're struggling with this thing that we're not getting. And now we're suffering because we're not connected deeply with the one who can give us comfort. And then the last thing I would say is just look at the cross, because just imagine, the cross was the most horrible, awful thing that could ever happen. And Jesus brought redemption out of that. And so when we say, you know, nothing good's going to come out of that, well, just look at the cross and what God did with that. It's really awesome.
Well, Tripp and Shanna, an exciting section of the podcast is what we call the Wisdom Resource. And typically we go back several hundred years to those classics that have stood the test of time. The book today and the individual were last century, so it's not really a modern-day classic, kind of somewhere in between. But I'll have to tell you, it resonates with me as well, Shanna. With our four daughters, we really encourage them to read this author, Corrie ten Boom, who, wow, what an incredible godly lady. This remarkable woman spent the first 50 years of her life living peacefully with her father and her sister above her watch shop there in Harlem, Holland. But then, as you know, World War II broke out, and this devoutly Christian family began to provide hiding places for these persecuted Jews. And then even Corrie spent several months in the concentration camp, and this is where her faith sustained her and God taught her incredible things. One of her books, Tramp for the Lord, I think maybe today a publisher wouldn't quite be drawn to that as much, but we know what she meant, or you're going to explain that a little bit. But yet this story and the heart of this book is timeless and worth sharing with each generation. So Shanna, you said this is one of your all-time favorites. Can you just give us a summary?
Yeah, I love this book. But first of all, you talked about the title. So the reason it's called Tramp for the Lord is because Corrie, when she was released from Ravensbrück concentration camp, and she was in her 50s, she started tramping, that's what we would call, tramping all over the globe and telling people about Jesus. But I love this book because I was thinking, you know, we all want to be Corrie, because she had such great faith. She had courage. She was the woman who had an awful, awful experience. I mean, her whole family died. She was with her sister in Ravensbrück. Her sister passed away while they were in that concentration camp. After she got out, she found out that all of her other family members had died. And so she was a woman who had these horrible, awful experiences, but she trusted God in the midst of those. And when we read stories like that, it's just inspiring for us, because, you know, all of us have had things stripped away from us. We've had losses in our lives. And when we look at someone like Corrie, we go, you know what? Wow. If she could go through that, then I can go through what I'm going through. And so the book is just inspiring. It's also inspiring because you just get to walk with her as she has different experiences where she's required to trust God for her provision, where she's going to be traveling, speaking, how she ministers to people. It's just a really great book.
And to see a life shine in the midst of one of the most horrific persecutions in the history of mankind, but yet she was a light. She was shining for the Lord. And there's a couple of quotes in the book that were meaningful. I'd like to read those in this a brief comment and then ask you a question about these quotes, Shanna. Corrie says, "He uses our problems for his miracles. This was my first lesson in learning to trust him completely. God has plans, not problems, for our lives." And it made me think, you know, suffering and pain is something we all encounter in various degrees. But we must remember, for followers of Jesus, there's no promise of a pain-free life. Certainly something Corrie ten Boom knew all that as well as anyone. So here's my question, Shanna. How can her example help us to have courage and endurance in our own lives today?
Yeah, because like I said, we've all lost things, for one. We've all gone through heartache. And then also, I think that Corrie's life is an example of something I thought about from a pastor recently that I heard. He was talking about in the garden, there was sin. That's when we're separated from God. And then at the end of time, Jesus is going to come back. But this middle section in here, this is where we're in this mess. This is all about God's redemption. That's what he's doing. And so we look at Corrie's story and we see God's redemption. And as we see her story, we go, you know what? I'm having this experience right now. God redeemed Corrie's story. She had this awful thing happen to her, and he did good in spite of what she went through. But also it can encourage us too, because when we look at her story, we understand that God's just not about our comfort. He's about his eternal story that he's writing. He's about saving people's lives and drawing people to him. And Corey's story was an awesome example of that. So we see how he can use anything to draw people to himself.
Thank you, Shannon. You know, it really reminds me of the fact that these biographies actually can become mentors for us. So again, the title of the book, Tramp for the Lord, the author, Corey Ten Boom. It's a classic. It stood the test of time. We strongly encourage you to pick that up.
Shannon Boyd, thank you again for that recommendation. Sounds like a wonderful read, and again, we encourage everyone to check it out. As we begin to land the plane, Shanna, since you're here in person, I want to make sure we take a minute and talk just briefly about your book. We've mentioned it several times on the podcast, but 2 minutes in the Bible for Women, there's only so much that Boyd and I can say on this topic. And so since you're here with us, hopefully many of our listeners have already begun to read this book, but it's a special book, and we're so pleased to have you here and to have this book available. I'm curious, as you sat down and began to craft this book and write it and put it together, I know it's devotions that are from your heart, that are from your own life experience, but what can someone expect to encounter as they read this book?
Yeah, you know, I said this earlier, but I think that we're really not all that different from one another. So as I act as that funnel, things are coming through my life, God's teaching me, I would say that they're things that any woman could relate to, because women are really much the same. So, and you know, we have some similarities with men as far as some of the things we wrestle with, but there are some things that are specific to women. So in the book, I talk about, for example, severed friendships, you know, a perspective that we should have if we can't pray for, or we can't pray with someone in person, but we need to support them through prayer because we can't have a relationship with them. I talk about relational heartbreak, how to develop intimacy with God, what do you do when you're waiting for the Lord, just topics that are very close to a woman's heart.
That's wonderful. This book is available on wisdomhunters.com as well as Amazon, anywhere else that books are sold. If you don't have it, please pick it up. You will be blessed by this book. As we wrap up, one other thing that I want to bring to our attention, as we're now here in the middle of summer, the fall may feel far off and distant, but it's going to be here before we know it. And Boyd, I want to hear from you just briefly. We have an exciting release coming up in the 2 Minutes in the Bible series, 2 Minutes in the Bible with Jesus. Boyd, could you speak a bit about this book?
Yes, and the book is, it, of course, is about the life of Jesus, but even more so, it's about the lives that encountered Jesus. And I like it because it brings really current application, everything from the disciples facing fear, how did Jesus guide them through how to handle fear, the disciples asking him how to pray, how should we pray, a woman caught in adultery, instead of seeing Jesus condemn, he shows grace and mercy, but he does say go and sin no more. So I love studying and looking at the life of Jesus, but even more so looking at the lives that approached Jesus and then how he loved them and encouraged them and called them to a higher standard.
That sounds like a rich conversation and a rich study. Something that we're going to take up over the next few episodes, actually, Boyd, as we head towards the fall, early September is when we expect this book to be available. And so for the next few podcasts, we're going to discuss these very topics, look at some of the parables, look at the life of Jesus, and say, what kind of questions were his people in his day asking? How did Jesus answer those in ways they did not expect? And how does that relate to our lives today as well? We also are excited to have coming up very soon a sample of the book available for free. This will be released exclusively on the app. And so if you don't have the Wisdom Hunters app, make sure you download that and look for an announcement very soon when that is available. So a sample of several of these devotions from 2 Minutes in the Bible with Jesus. Boyd, Shanna, thank you so much. I think that wraps us up. Any final words?
I was just going to say you're welcome, Tripp. And thank you, Tripp, for all your work to keep us organized. This is
yeah,
wonderful.
It's been great. Thanks so much.
Shanna, bless you. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for listening to the Wisdom Hunters podcast. Continue your journey towards wisdom by visiting us on social media and at wisdomhunters.com, where you can download a free 30-day devotional ebook on wise living. Thank you for joining us as a Wisdom Hunter.